Thanks for listening in. If you would like to help support the ministry here, your gifts would be greatly appreciated, and you can send any amount to P.O. Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania. That's C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. And we trust that God will richly bless you. You can also give by donating through PayPal or Venmo or by donating through our website at www.sjrchurch.org or the sermon audio website where you may have found this sermon. We do appreciate your gifts. Praise the Lord. That. The title of this series of messages is Flee the Darkness. The message title today is Shine the Light. Anybody surprised? As we saw last week, the scriptures are clear. They're perfectly clear. We are to abstain from every or any appearance of evil. My hope is that the series of messages will uplift everyone and that it will encourage you and sustain you in your walk. I believe that listeners will be strengthened in faith and life to be aware of the dangers that are associated with anything that's opposite of what God wants for our lives. His Word calls these things by various names: iniquity, sin, wickedness, evil. Today we're going to look at what Jesus said about those who love light and those who don't, those who love darkness. Scripture reveals a picture of believers walking in light. It's the light of the gospel, the glorious light of the gospel. Our Creator loved His creation so much that He sent a Redeemer, one who would pay the price that we couldn't pay, because we owed a debt, a great debt, that we were not even aware of, maybe. But that debt had to be paid. And the only way it could be paid was by Almighty God Himself, through Christ Jesus our Lord. The one that we call Jesus, His name is Yeshua. And turning to God and allowing Him to work in us and upon us is what transforms us. It's what some call the process of sanctification. And we're not all in the same place. We're not all walking at the same place in that process. Some of us are a little further along. And sometimes those who are further along, God says, come on along. And has us shine the light for others to be able to walk on the path that Jesus laid out. He loved His creation so much. He taught us the way of living in light. And this is what pleases Him. He guides His obedient children to in His living light, to live their lives and shine the light for others. So I want us to open our Bibles to the third chapter of the gospel record of John. John's gospel record, chapter 3, you'll find that on page 1639 there in those Bibles in your seats. 1639. And it contains words that have been proclaimed ever since they were spoken. John chapter 3, again, it's page 1639 there in the Bibles there in your seats. But before we read, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, You created all that is and was and ever shall be. God, please remove all distractions from our thinking. Please anoint us with Your Spirit of truth today. Please teach us from Your Word today. Please open our eyes and our ears to receive Your light. Please help us to totally yield ourselves to You in everything. Lead us, Lord, to love You supremely. Help us to accept and trust Your truth above all else. Guide us, Lord. Guide us to give ourselves completely to the true power of Christ in our lives. Free us from the love of darkness. Free us from the bondage of sin that leads to death. Father, please guide us to walk in the light by your Holy Spirit. Help us to give our heart and our will to you completely. Lead us to shine the light in your service as your ambassadors. Empower us by your Spirit of truth to share your good news of victory over darkness. It was only made possible by the light of Christ. I surrender myself completely to you today. Please, Lord, forgive my shortcomings. Give me unction to preach your word, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the words, because I can't do this without you. I'm weak and I'm beggarly, but I ask that you would override my weakness with your strength. God, we believe, but we need your help to conquer unbelief. I ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon all who hear this word today. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. You know, it's a blessing to have an amen section in the church, right? John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let me just pause there for a moment. Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus at night. Okay? At night. Now think about that. Why would the man come at night? Do you think maybe he was a little bit concerned about other people seeing him? He may have been concerned that others would see him because he knew that the guys he was working with, they were after Jesus. They wanted to take Jesus out. And so maybe, just maybe, he had a little concern for himself. But he was really curious because he knew this man we call Jesus was from God because of the works. He said, nobody can do these works that you do. Now, did Jesus say, that's right. Nobody can do what I do because after all, I'm from God. No. How did he respond? I say to you, most assuredly, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Where did he come off with that? The guy was talking about works that Jesus did, knowing that Jesus was from God. Why did he come up with this? Unless you are born again, excuse me, you will not see the kingdom of God. Think about it, okay? Just let that stick in your mind for just a moment. Now, Nick said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Now, he's just thinking he's talking about being born in the flesh. He's not talking about the spirit. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, ask any mother if they'd want their child to get back in the womb and be born again. Okay? That's not something mothers want, right? I mean, you have a baby, you're glad that baby is out. And you don't want to go through the process again, right? Right, you know, you ask any new mother especially, who's fresh in their mind, oh yeah, they don't want the baby to go back. Now, and Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one's born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So now, he refreshes what he said, okay? He said, okay, you can't get into heaven without being born again, and now he says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you're not going to see heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Each of us have been born in the flesh. Each and every one of us have come from a mother and a father, born of the flesh. He said, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he's talking about a spiritual birth. He's talking about a rebirth spiritually. He's talking about a new life spiritually. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but can't tell where it came from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. And there he's speaking of himself. And he's foretelling some things that we're not going to get into, but he's saying he's on his way out too. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Now this is a ruler of the Jews. He is a religious leader, okay? He's a religious leader, and he says, how can this be? Come on. This can't be. This can't be true. How could this be true? And Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? He's marveling. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He said, you got it all wrong, man. You've got it wrong. He's telling him right there. To him, say, you've got it wrong. You have religion. I'm talking about a relationship. This is where he's at. If I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who's in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what we celebrate whenever we partake in communion. He gave his life so that we might be saved. He gave his life so that we too could have life. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what does that mean? Believing in the name. Do you believe that he's real? Do you believe that he existed? Or is there something more to that? Because it goes back to what Jim said earlier about God's authority. Because Christ came here in the authority of Almighty God, and all authority was endowed upon him. He was given all authority on earth and in heaven. And he lived in that authority. He proclaimed in that authority. He taught in that authority. And he's telling them here, you better believe that that's true. That he's operating in the authority of God. Now the guy said, we know you're from God because of all the works that you do. Nobody could do that if you weren't from God. Everyone, he says, who believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. This is the condemnation. Now pay attention. This is the condemnation. He said, they're already, if those who do not believe are already condemned, then this is the condemnation. He said, the light's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He didn't say there wasn't light in the world. He didn't say there wasn't any light, and that's why people were condemned. He said light came into the world, and they chose not to live in that light because their deeds were evil. They wanted what they had, whether it was the religious, which he was talking to this guy who's religious, and he's saying, you don't have it right. You've got it wrong. Or if it was just the common man on the street. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest their deeds would be exposed. Had a guy one time, and I've shared this before, come to me and say, I can't sit under your preaching. I come under conviction. I said, praise the Lord. God's shining the light on you with his word. He's showing you where you're slipping up. Get it right. Come into the light. Everyone practicing evil hates the light. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. That's where we'll end our reading. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now think about this. When Jesus is talking to this guy, okay? The guy says, he's a Pharisee, he's a leader of the Jews, and in common terms, that would be maybe like a pope or a bishop or somebody in the church, okay? They're a leader. He comes to Jesus by night, under the cover of darkness, okay? Don't let that slip by you now, okay? He comes to see Jesus at night. And Jesus, when he says, we know you're a teacher, we know you couldn't do these things unless you're with God, and so on and so forth, Jesus didn't say, yeah, that's right. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, as I started to tell the children, a baby lives in darkness in the womb. When a baby's born, they come into the light. They have to leave the womb. They have to leave the darkness. They may not be born. They are not born. They do not come into the light unless they leave the darkness. The other day, as I was preparing for the message, I have a book of quotes from the 12-step programs. It's quotes of wisdom and such. And I just randomly opened it up and it said, you're either walking into the light or you're walking out of it. And I said, whoa, praise the Lord. That fits right in with the message, Lord. You know, I would even think to pick that book up and open it up and all of that. You see, unless someone is reborn, they're in darkness. And our Lord, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, he immediately shined the light on the problem. I mean, he didn't waste any time. He didn't agree with the guy that, yeah, he's from God. No, he didn't go into all that. He said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now, that's a trip up. I mean, if you think about it. But he shined the light right on the problem. And that's what each of us are called to do. We're not to mingle with darkness. We're not to walk in darkness. We're to shine the light. We're to be the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And see, that's what we are to do. We are to shine that light. We are to be the light. The light of the world. He came into the world. He gave his light to his followers and they passed it on to others. And that's what all of us are to do. It's part of what we do in this building. It's what we do with the online services that we give out to people, whether it be through sermon audio or it be through Facebook Live. We are able to share the light of Christ with others. There are people all over the world that are hearing the message. There are people all over this country that are listening through Facebook right now. Because God said, this is what we are to do. Shine the light. Shine the light. Nicodemus came to him at night. Probably was afraid to be seen with him. He knew his colleagues were plotting against the Lord. And the very core of the problem was darkness. Okay? Jesus didn't, like I said, he didn't agree with the guy. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm from God. Yeah, you got it right. No, no. He knew the core of the problem was darkness. And so what did he do? He shined the light on it. He said, that's the problem. You need to come out of the darkness. You need to come into the light. Because the problem is death-like darkness. It's the absence of light. It's the absence of life. It's the same thing. Now, no matter what they were planning, because we know from reading the scriptures that they were plotting against him. But no matter what they were planning, our Lord said that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever. And that included the religious people at that time. He's saying, whoever, you want life, come. come. But he knew they wouldn't. And as we read further on, he says, but men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. God so loved the world. He shined the light to lead all out of darkness into the light of life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. He so loved the world. This is probably the most quoted passage or verse of Scripture in modern times. And it was made very popular by television evangelists. God so loved the world. It speaks strongly of the love of God, and that surpasses all understanding. We may not think that we fully comprehend the love of God. We scratch the surface. This passage speaks of the redeeming power of God's love that was sent into the world through His Son, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah that was promised. The Messiah that they were looking for, the very religious leaders who were living in darkness, did not see that he was in fact the light that they thought they were waiting for. To receive everlasting life, one only needs to believe in him. Now we're not going to go into what it means to believe. It's more than a mental assent. It's more than just giving lip service. Oh, I believe. The devils believe and they tremble. There's a lot of people that call themselves followers of Christ who are not really believing. Because when we truly believe, we live according to His will, in His way, what He wants for our lives. I was talking with a surveyor yesterday. Thank you, John. He was showing me that we're lacking some things in the survey of this property. We're missing some of the monuments. They were dug up. They were removed by the railroad when they did their thing here, okay? He said he needs to have at least 2 points to have a point of reference, to be able to triangulate, I guess is a good word. He didn't use that one. What he said was we didn't have enough, so they're going to have to come out and do some more field work. And as we were looking at the map, we were talking, and there's a right-of-way that goes through the property here, for the railroad. And it also goes through the neighboring properties. And I thought, you know, that's just like the Word of God. He sets out the right-of-way. Right-of-way, the right way. He lays it out and he says, here's the parameters for the right-of-way. Stay in there and you're good. Go outside of those boundaries. Go outside of that right-of-way. Go outside of the right way. And you're on your own. And you're in danger. And we don't get our salvation from our work, folks. Don't take me wrong. But he sure makes it clear in his word how he wants us to live. And he says that he'll empower us to do that. He will enable us to live the way that he wants us to live in the light of Christ. By the light of Christ. Almighty God was motivated by His love, not condemnation. Jesus said so. I didn't come to condemn the world. He said, this is the condemnation, though. They love darkness rather than light. His goal was pure and simple, salvation for mankind. Yet His message seemed harsh to the people at that time. And why? Because He preached repentance. He preached turning from sin. He said, go and sin no more, on more than one occasion. He repeatedly pointed out the error of the religious leaders too. He said, you've got it wrong, guys. You've got it all wrong. You're not doing it right. And I would submit to you today, my brothers and my sisters, friends, neighbors, countrymen, I would submit to you today that the church has it wrong. Overall, the church has it wrong. We're chasing more people away from Christ than we are bringing into Christ. Oh, there's lots of people that will say a little prayer. They'll get down on their knees and they'll bow their heads and they'll raise their hands and all that kind of stuff. And they'll say, oh yeah, I believe, I believe. And then they go on living exactly the way that they had lived before they said they believed. And what does that do? It conveys the darkness of their heart because they are not believing. Believing is a transformational process. Jesus said so. He shined a light on the darkness of human religious traditions. He says, you keep the traditions of men and you ignore the Word of God. And this is what's happening today. People are bringing all kinds of things into the body of Christ and they're calling it sacred or holy or okay by God, and it's not. Religion needs to be reborn. Religion needs to be reborn. And this is the message here that Christ is saying to Nicodemus. You must be born again. And I believe in order for the church to survive, the church needs to be reborn. We've watched that happen here. We're watching it happen. Religion needs to go into the absolutely pure light of Christ in right relationship with our Creator. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about what we think or what we believe or what we want or what we say. It's all about Him. It's about what He says. It's about what He wants. It's about His way, not our way. He still wants His creation to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to come out of the darkness and into the light. Our Lord was hypercritical of everything that stood in the way of people coming to the light that He brought. As He Himself was the light, He said so. He shined that light into the darkness to draw people out of that darkness. And what is the darkness? He said what it was. Men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. The darkness is wickedness. It's evil. It's iniquity. It is sin. Dare I say that in a modern world today? But yes, I must. If in fact I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if I'm a preacher of the Word of God, I must tell you that if you live in sin, you will die in that sin. I don't want you to die in sin. I want you to have everlasting life. And in order for you to have everlasting life, you must be born again. You have to come out of the darkness. You have to come into the light. It's the only way. It's the way that He laid out. It's not my way. It's not my words. It's His. Verse 19 tells us the core of the problem. Mankind is condemned by the love of darkness. Not the absence of light. Light is available. It's not because there isn't light available. It's because people want the darkness. You know, for a time there I was seeing, especially on billboards, wicked this and evil that, associated with things like cigarettes and whatever. I don't even remember all now. And I thought, this is a sign of the times. Big billboard, wicked something, you know. Almighty God shined light into the world through the man that we know as Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. His light is a magnificent light. Think about it like this, folks. It's a candle in a dark cave. It's a candle in the darkness. And at the same time, it's a floodlight, because when that candle is lit, it shines upon our soul and reveals the darkness that we've hidden within it. His light's a magnificent light. It's a flashlight. Again, think of that cave. If you've ever been caving, and I have, it's dark in there. The absence of light becomes real to you when you are in a cave without access to outside light or any artificial light. Praise the Lord. Somebody's ringing my bell here. I got to get that to shut off. Why didn't I turn this off? Okay, we'll turn that off. Sorry about that, folks. Not only is it a flashlight or a candle in a cave, it's a lighthouse on the rocky shore. This is why we have so many hymns with those kind of pictures. The lighthouse, shining the light to warn of danger. The rocky shore is the danger that's being warned of. Now, I can remember stories where somebody said that there was a guy in a lighthouse, he sees a ship approaching, and he says, "Please change your direction." And the guy in the ship says, "I'm the captain of this ship. Nobody tells me to change direction." And the lighthouse guy says, "Yeah, well, I'm the captain of this lighthouse, and if you don't change direction, you're going to find yourself on the rocks." See, Christ comes into the world to say, "I'm the light. You're going the wrong way. You're going to crash. You're going to hit the rocks. You're going to get hurt, and I don't want you to get hurt. Change course. Come out of the darkness. Come into the light." His light's a beacon for the lost to save them from the caverns of sin. His light is that beacon that saves them from the dangerous rocky shore of evil in the darkness. His light's marvelous. You know, he gave it to me. That song that we sang earlier, "I saw the light. I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light." That's a true story. "I wandered so aimless. My life was filled with sin. Then Jesus came. He shined the light. And when I saw that light, all I wanted was that light." That's not true. "I ran into the darkness just like everybody else." It sounded good, right? Yeah, but it wasn't true. "I ran headlong away from Christ. All I wanted was darkness. And then when I got to the end of my run, I just got down on my face and handed the wheel to God. And I said, 'You drive. I keep wrecking.' A little while later, I grabbed that wheel and I started steering again. And crashed again. And the next time, and I've said this many times, and I will, I'm sure, say it many times again because it is true. I gave him the wheel and I said, 'Here's the keys too. Lock me in the trunk. You drive. I don't want to drive my life anymore. I want to do what He wants. I want to walk in the light. I want to be in the light as He is in the light. And I want to shine that light into the whole world. And I know by His grace that I am saved. And I want all to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what I want. And this is why I preach as hard as I do, because I want everybody to know it's real. It's not made up. It's not pretend. This is not a fairy tale. This is real. Almighty God has a path for your life. He has a will for your life, and He wants you to live it for Him. It's His marvelous light." As I wrap this up, I want you to realize that your Creator loves you so much that He made that way for you too. Not just for me, not just for the people sitting next to you, but for you too. His way of living is different from the way of the world. And so I have to ask you, will you accept His way? Will you accept His way? Will you come out of the darkness? Will you live in the light? Will you flee the darkness and allow the light to enter? Remember that you're either moving toward the light or away from it. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Our Messiah, one we call Jesus, He provides the strength within you if you are fully surrendered. Throw up the hands. Put yourself down on the floor. Put yourself on your face. Don't be ashamed of whatever. Because I'll tell you what, when you get before God, you're going to be bare naked the way you came into this world, and there's going to be nothing to hide. You will have nothing to hide. Almighty God will know everything. I don't want anybody to stand before him on that judgment day and not have said, yes, I will follow you into the light. Let your light so shine. And for those of us who were born again, we need to be shining that light, especially in these dark times, folks. People need what we have, and we're the ones that God has chosen to give it to them. He enables you and he empowers you to abstain from all appearance of evil. We heard about that last week. The very God of peace sanctifies you completely. I want each of you to examine yourself in the light of Scripture. Not in the light of your neighbor or somebody else. Allow him to show any place where you might be able to improve your walk with him. And ask him to help you, to enable you, to strengthen you, to give you those gospel shoes that you will walk on his path. Flee any darkness that you might be embracing. Any. All. Know that this is not his will for you. Let Almighty God preserve your whole spirit and your soul and your body blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will preserve you. He says so in his word. And by your actions, the way that you live, your conduct, the way that you conduct yourself, and by your words, you can shine light upon others. And they too can be born again. They too can shine the light to others. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would take a hold of each soul, Lord, that hears this message. That you and you alone would be glorified through the proclamation of your word. As we go forward, Lord, in the finishing of this service, I ask for your blessing upon each soul that has been in this building and those that have watched and listened online, that you would bring your blessing to bear upon each and every one of us, that we would recognize at every moment any darkness that we might be holding on to. That we would come out of the darkness and into the light. That we would embrace the light. That we would recognize that it is for our safety. Not just here on earth, but forever. And I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Please open your hymnals now to number 472. Number 472. And we will sing, Heavenly Sunlight.